There's a little note up here that says it's not necessary to move or lean into the microphone. Don't worry, you will be heard. Isn't that interesting? My heart is that that's the message the Lord has for us. Pray he will be heard. We pray that he will be heard. Welcome, everyone. My name is Dan. I'm from Virginia. It's great to be here. We know there are still some that are on the way. Is this true? Can you really hear me? I can't tell. Okay. All right. There are still some traveling. So let's remember them in prayer as the Lord continues to gather us here in his name for his purpose. Not an empty comment. You know, much prayer has gone into this. And even as some of the brothers gathered to pray prior to this time, we sensed power of the Lord because his heart is so much for you. So much for us together this week, seeing him more clearly, maybe even more clearly than we thought possible. So welcome. I was thinking back of last year when we met, and it's really still on my heart to an extent. How many are here for the first time? I wanted to know if this is the first time you've come. That's great. That's close to a third or so, I would say. So welcome. Last year as we gathered, what the Lord had put on my heart was, you know, sometimes when you come to a gathering like this, there's a lot of welcomes and a lot of introductions and yada, yada, yada. I would like to begin the same way for a minute. We are all glad to be together. And those who have prayed and have labored to put this conference on are certainly glad that you're here. But now that we are here, we need to be glad to be here and to welcome the one whom we have come to meet with. I would like us to have a few more minutes of prayer. And you can stand if you like. Because I would like for us, again, to stand and with prayer and from your heart, welcome the Lord into our midst. Welcome him into your life. You know, it's interesting, about 30 of us came up in some vans from Virginia. So I know some of those kids, I know them all by name and face. And I know some of their struggles and some of their joys and some of their hurts, all the thing. But, you know, a lot of you I don't. I see your faces. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to know you in the Lord. But the Lord knows precisely where you are. And that's a wonderful thing. He knows what you've come here, why you've come. Even if you don't, it's okay. But for us to start off together tonight, I would love for us to be able to stand together. So let's stand. And to, with maybe a little different, with a real resolve, I want us to pray together and welcome the Lord into the midst of this place. If there's business transactions you need to do in your own soul, the work of sanctification, the taking the cleansing of the blood, wonderful time of worship and songs together. But let's have a few prayers and a few audible prayers, but in every heart, invite the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to come into your being and to work and to have his way this week, starting now, starting earlier, actually, but starting with this moment. Some of you may have done that, but I want, when we sit down, for us all to be on that common ground of, even if it's, and be honest with the Lord, even if it's, Lord, I really am not quite sure what to expect, why I'm here, but I do trust you. And I want you to work in my life. Others of you, maybe those who have been here in the past, you know why I'm back here? I'm obviously not a high schooler. I have been so blessed, and we have been blessed, because the Lord has used this conference to seal things that will make a difference in eternity in the hearts and lives of the young people who come and apply themselves to what goes on. So let's take a few moments, and if some of you feel to pray, we want to individually welcome the Lord into our being to move, to have his way, to speak to us, to do what needs to be done, to prepare us, because his return is soon. Let's pray. Lord, we have come from many places. You have brought us. And we say, Lord, we are gathering together unto you. May the gathering of these young people and all of us that are here be unto you. We welcome you, Lord Jesus Christ, into our being, into we are in your presence by your grace and by your mercy, through the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah, Lord. We call upon you to fall upon this week, to fall upon each one of us with power, with conviction, with liberty, with healing, Lord, with cleansing, with freedom in the Spirit, with liberty in the Spirit of Christ. Lord, there's so much that you have done for us. Your word refers to the fathomless riches of Christ. Lord, we don't want to leave here paupers. You are fathomlessly rich and more than willing and more than full of desire to work by your Holy Spirit to make us rich in Christ. We welcome you, Lord, into this place, into our hearts, into our beings. We implore you, Lord, to come and have your way with each one of us, wherever we are, in Jesus' name. Father, we are so blessed to know that we have the assurance by the Spirit that you will finish the work you've begun in us. Lord, we want to be very, very honest with you this week and say, Lord, if there's some here who don't know you even, then we know it's possible to know you. And Lord, that if we do know you and we're not where we should be, your blood is available to cleanse us, that you won't leave us under condemnation. But that you will forgive us and cleanse us. Lord, establish us in your presence for what it is that you are going to do this week. We give you full sway with our lives. Lord, we want to say that by your Spirit, we, like the three who were to be thrown in the fire, Lord, they said, we know that our God is able to deliver us. Whether he does or not, we won't bow our knee to any other. Lord, we want to say, as this little note up here, by your Spirit, may you be heard. And we even choose that you will be heard in our hearts this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Thank you for your prayers. It's wonderful to hear the Spirit of Christ coming through and beginning our time together. The brochure that went out for the conference and the theme of the conference is a challenge to each one of us. You know, when you're talking to a group, we have a tendency to kind of morph into a glob. You know what I'm saying? You're just kind of out there. This challenge that the Lord gave is not to a glob. It's to you by name specifically. We are being called to walk worthy. Worthy of what? Have you pondered that? And to redeem the time. Why? Have you pondered that? We will be touching on this thing this week. There are three verses that are also associated with the conference. I'm just going to read them. I'm not going to go into them. I always feel so bad for these guys when they get up and speak. And they go, well, so-and-so already gave my message. I'm not going to do that at all. But I do want to read these verses. And I do want to challenge you at the young age you are. I'm going to say this about redeeming the time. Obviously, you folks are younger than I am. But you know what? In terms of the Lord's return, you don't have any more time than I do. All right, you hear what I'm saying? When he comes back, I think of it as when the whistle blows. I hope that doesn't offend anybody. But you know, when the game's over and you blow the whistle, it's a delineation. It's done. When the Lord returns, it's going to be in an instant. So it doesn't matter if you're 13 or 30, 40 or 50 something. What we have allowed the Lord to do in our life in the time that he had us here on this earth is what we will take with us. So this is an important, important topic. And I think it'll be looked at from many angles. And I think you will receive much help, much insight if you apply yourself. If you drift through the week, if you came for a vacation. Actually, you might pick up something anyway. Have you ever heard the saying, even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while, stumbles across it. Let's go into this with our eyes wide open. Let's expect the Lord to work. And even if you're fearful, for some reason. Know that he really, really does love you. He really, really cares. And I know from experience, you know what? I actually always, I think you all know this, I feel like I'm really young even though I'm not. But I've come to realize really the only difference between you and me and those of us around here that are starting to gray is we've just been here longer. So we've had a little more experience, and experience is what teaches you. You all are young, and every day you're gaining more experience. But does that make sense? There's not much difference. It's such a blessing to me to see in our fellowship saints that are in their 80s. And at Bible study, they're asking questions and they're smiling and they're joyful. Because you know what? Life is tough. It really is. And the Lord never promised it wouldn't be. But he did promise to be with us. But to see these older ones joyful in the Lord gives me such hope. I want you to be full of hope this week. And as I read these verses, I want to read them with some emphasis. And I want to challenge you this week as you read the word. Again, I mentioned when we get together in a group, we get this blob mentality. Sometimes when we read the word, we read like this. Okay, it's my turn to read. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because days are evil, so they need to make sure. You know what? Pay attention to the word of God when you're reading it. Even this, walk worthy. Redeem the time is the theme. One of the verses, Ephesians 5:15 through 17, begins with the word therefore. Someone shared with me one time, every time you see a therefore in the Word of God, you need to look in front of it to see what it's there for. They've set up many things, and there's a therefore. I'm not going to do that here, but I just thought I would share that. But in Ephesians, many things have been laid out. But the word says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish. Do not be foolish. But understand what the will of the Lord is. This says to us, among many things, it is possible to understand the will of the Lord. Not in its entirety, because we're finite, but to understand the will of the Lord for his church, his bride, and your part in that, in his body. And then 2 Timothy 2:22, now flee. Take off. Get out of there. Don't mess with it. Flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness. And all these things, it tells you the cause and the effect, the action and the reaction. Not as unwise, but as wise. Flee these things, but pursue these, righteousness, that is what we're to pursue. You don't have to sweat it. What am I to pursue? Righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And here's a beautiful thing. With those who call on the Lord from a pure heart, with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then 1 John 2:17, the verse that was chosen to also solidify this word in our heart says, the world is passing away and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Amazing clues here. Amazing insights. Does that to you make knowing the will of God a little more important? Hopefully as this week goes on, it will. Now, what I want to do tonight, just in terms of an introduction for the week or an opening, is I've got a little example set up over here. How many of you thought we were going to have the Lord's table? Kind of looks like that, but that's not what we're going to do. I want to do a little demonstration. I saw this myself a long ago, and it had such an effect on me that as I sought the Lord about this particular time tonight, this is what he put on my heart. As I continued to pray, it stayed there, so I'm going to move over here and start with this. I'll start here. Let me try this thing. It'll come on, I guess. I was thinking about this. These are the equivalent, at my age, of what happens to you when you're 13 or 14 and your voice cracks. You know? My eyes aren't quite bad, but they're not quite good. And it's like your voice isn't quite there yet. Okay. Now, do I keep holding it down? It flashed. So maybe it's working.
Brother, I feel like the price is right.
It's on. It's green. Okay. Sorry about that. What I'd like to do a visual for you here is, you're really going to think we're having the Lord's table when you see this. I thought we were going to be in a little more intimate setting, but these are little plastic cups, obviously. But they're also you. And the green area that you see in front of you is Christ. And this area out here is the world. So what we're looking at is, I'm going to just say, a general interpretation of how someone comes to know the Lord. You know, I've always been so impressed with the fact that once you're in Christ, and that's what I want to demonstrate here, in Christ, you are in Christ. The Word of God says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you're out here. Here's the dividing line. You got it? Over this end of the table is the world, and you're lost, separated from God. You're out here, and this is, I ought to name these. All right. Here's Summer, Daniel, Faith, Ben, anybody else? Your name goes here, okay? Oh, look. Here's the twins. You're all here. And at some point, your sin was recognized by you. The Lord convicted you. And you said, Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. I want you to come into my life. And I want you to fill me. And I want to be yours. And I hope you can see what I'm doing. I should probably, can you? I'm up a little higher than I thought. I'm filling these little cups up, so what's going on with this? Water. Water representing being filled with the Spirit. So when that happens, you're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. But you're in the kingdom of light. You're in Christ. You're saved. You're born again. You're redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb. You don't see that. Now here's an interesting thing. Maybe somebody whose name I don't know but the Lord does, and actually it could be me. I'll say it's me. Sake of illustration, so nobody will feel uncomfortable, but it could be you. Yes, Lord, I really don't want to go to hell. I mean, it just doesn't sound good. But I'm really having a good time out here, so tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be saved. And there you go. I like that. Kind of easy, kind of comfortable. And then here's somebody else. Oh, Lord, I'm so glad to be saved. I'm so glad I'm in you, but I'm really slipping, and I really don't feel like I can stay there, and I'm back in the world, and I don't know what to think, and okay, you got that. And on and on and on. The wonderful thing is here you see that where your life was empty, plastic, kind of nothing, the Lord has filled you, and you're in Christ. And this is sort of the way people think of it in general. You know, the Lord comes into your life. You know, what's going on here? This is sort of a free range thing. And I've said, this is the church. And you know, a beautiful thing that is true is once you're in Christ, you don't get out. It's forever. You must be born again, he said. And if you're born again, you're born again. You can't unborn yourself. It doesn't happen. You don't get out of Christ. You may live out here on the perimeter, but you're in Christ. Do you all agree this is sort of is this making sense? You're sort of seeing that way? Well, let me change things up a little bit. And this is, it's a simple illustration. This is really what, as we go into this week, I want you all to see. What I've demonstrated is that, yes, we're lost. There's no way we can get over here without the Spirit of God bringing us. Can't come. Not getting in. But to be filled with the Spirit gives you all kinds of membership privileges. If you don't mind me putting it that way. But the Word is so full of the riches in Christ. But there's a different way that I truly believe the Lord would have us look at this. And here it is. I named some of you all. And what you saw was, yes, you gave your life to the Lord. And you were filled with the Holy Spirit, right? So in a sense, this is true. But in a sense, what I'm going to show you is much more true. And if you grasp this and you apply this, and I'm going to read some verses that I think after I show you this will sound different to you. And as you apply them to your life, they will have much more meaning. I hope that's the case. I hope you all forget me, but I hope you never forget what you're about to see. Who's this? Somebody. This is Summer. Summer, when you prayed and asked the Lord into your life, and I know that he has because you've been baptized too. This isn't about baptism, even though I don't know if you can even tell so far away, but that big bowl is full of water. That big bowl represents Christ. Now, the first demonstration showed you that you were filled with Christ, but in a way, you're still sort of out here disconnected. You know, you're just sort of free range. When you're filled with Christ, what he has actually done, that bowl represents Christ. Rather than him coming out and filling you, this is how you're filled. You are plunged in him. And you are placed in Christ, and you're filled. And when you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, you're not filled from a distance. You are placed in Christ. James, you're in Christ, filled. In Christ, Pierce, Ashley, when you're born again. James, and everyone is, you are in Christ. You are related. You are submerged in him. And I wish this bowl was as big as the universe, because Christ is. But you're not out here struggling on your own. And in Christ, the Lord deals with you. But you're not estranged from God any longer. You, when you ask him, he places you in Christ. And amazing things go on in Christ, because you become part of this. Now, all illustrations fall apart at some point, so bear with me. But this one can cover lots of things. This is the body of Christ, joint members. But rather than thinking of yourself as an island that God has come along and filled, and you're just going to kind of get through life and hopefully do the right things, I want you to see that you have been placed in Christ Jesus, in him, literally. And I want to read some verses now that might sound a little different than when you read them before. I'm going to start in Romans. Even so, this is Romans 6:11. I've got quite a few, and I just want to read them, and I want you to listen to them from the point of view that you have been placed in him. Even so, Romans 6:11, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. If you stay out there, the wages is death, not eternal life. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Again in Romans, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And then Romans 12:15, a beautiful thing. You'll have to picture the bowl completely full of you all. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. And this is the building of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for is in Adam all die, out there on the other end of the table, lost in Adam, all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's a verse you all know, right? Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, and behold, all things have come. When you're here, you have a new identity. That verse points out you're a new creature in Christ. You also have a new identity. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Just a few others. There are many more. And you may be, I hope you're thinking of some yourself. Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. In Christ is faith. In Christ is grace. In Christ is hope. In Christ is love. And you are in Him. You don't have to wander around looking for those things. You're in Him. And they're all in Him. Ephesians 2:6. And raised up and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See how secure you really are in Him? Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And Paul said, and I want us all to say, Philippians 3:9, I count all things rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You get this when you're in Christ. This is what He's given us. Colossians 1:28, and we proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Does it change those verses a little for you? I hope it does, to recognize this. And even the charge to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's all in there, and you're in there. You have access to all that He is, all that He wants to do, and nothing will change that. Now, I think as this week goes on, possibly one of the things the Lord has on His heart is that once you're in Christ, there's still a work that goes on in your life. It's the redemption, the salvation of our souls. It's a process. If it were, the work of salvation is finished. What had to be done to put you in Christ is finished. So you're in Christ. So why do we have to redeem the time and walk worthy if it's all finished? Do you ever banter with that? Well, in Christ, there's a process of the Lord preparing us to be His bride. And I think that's what this week is going to be, the revealing of many of these things. 1 Peter, there's so many verses that I hope as you read them, this will come to your mind. But the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, 1 Peter 5:10, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Know, dear brothers and sisters, that you are in Christ if you have given your life to Him. If you haven't, please begin there tonight. If there's any here who have never said, Lord, I never really have gotten this, but I'm curious. If you just open your heart to Him and take a step, He will meet you. Because He's more interested than you are aware of showing you His love, of revealing Himself to you, of moving into that place that He created in you that nothing else is going to fill except Him. So do that. And if you're hungry for Him, you're walking with Him, pray that this week, as we are here together in Christ, that He'll move in a powerful way. Brother Hosea is going to come and share a word with you all. But that's what was on my heart to begin with. So, and then after Brother Hosea comes, John Lee will have a few words. And then you'll know what to do after John shares. But as Hosea comes, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, the way You have met each one of us is unique because You know us intimately. But Lord, as we are together this week and even tonight, we pray that the reality of what you have done, your death on the cross, your suffering in our place, your dying in our place, your being raised, placing us in you and being raised from the dead so that we are raised in newness of life. Pray that a freshness, a clarity, a deeper understanding, and a deeper desire to know more of you will overcome us all. Again, Father, we commit to you ourselves and give ourselves to you to continue to complete the great work you've begun in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can you hear me? Okay. I just want to say a few words to you, young brothers and sisters. What Dan shared is what we all need to hear. Not just this evening, those words we need to be reminded again and again and again. Because God's word is eternal truth, unchangeable, good for all time. So I'm very thankful for that opening word. Now, I'm going to be very, very brief. I want to just share you the secret of how to get there. Knowing what is there is one thing. But how to really get there is quite another thing. Before you came to Toronto, in some ways, you all made some preparation. Am I right? You all prepare yourself. If not spiritually, you prepare physically. The clothing you want to take and so forth, you prepare. And somehow, the reason why you prepare adequately, prepare the way that you think you need to prepare, because you have objective in view, because you prepare to get there. You know, so to get there is not never by chance. It needs some preparation. Okay, so I'm going to just share very briefly how to get there. First, we need to recognize the way to get there and how to get it is humanly impossible. That's the first thing. Otherwise, there's no need to have God, to believe in God. There's no need to trust Him, because to get there that way is humanly impossible. Unless God make it possible for us to get there, there's no way, humanly speaking. You see what I'm saying? No way. You cannot save yourself. You cannot put yourself in Christ. You cannot. It's God's doing. So that we have to take heart. So to get there is humanly impossible. No matter how you try, impossible. Unless God opened the way, no possibility. And thank God Christ is the way. He came here to open that new and living way for us to get there. Christ is the way. So would you turn with me to a few verses of scripture? Okay. Now, you all have your Bibles with you? This is a spiritual conference. You better have your Bibles with you. Okay. John, Marian, what is the requirement to attend this conference? Say a little louder so they can hear you. Okay, do you hear that? Okay, let's do that. Okay. Okay, Gospel of Luke. Okay, just a couple of verses from this wonderful story. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 37. This is a beautiful verse. I hope young people take it to heart. Now, these are the words Angel Gabriel spoke to Mary. For with God, nothing is what? Louder. Impossible. With man, nothing is what? Possible. But with God, nothing is what? Impossible. Now, take it to heart. Believe it. That's what He is. That's what God is. All that He wants to do in us, you and me, are the impossibles. If we can do it, we don't need Him. It's because we are utterly incapable. Therefore, He, in Himself, He makes that way possible. Okay, with man it's impossible, But with God, nothing is impossible. Now, if God said nothing is possible, what should be our attitude? What should be our response? Hearing the word is one thing, but accepting it and take it to heart is quite another thing. Now, we heard much. Many of you come to this conference, Canada, for many years. This is how many of you are now in this Redeemer's College. This is the fifth year. Wow, imagine that. And how many years we had this conference in Lebanon, Pennsylvania? 6 years. Wow. And previous that to Lebanon, how many years we had this conference in Canada up north? 5 years. Now, this is what year now? Mira, this is 5 years. Almost what? Almost 20 years. Wow. Imagine that. And we heard much. But in reality, how much of that we heard has been sunk in and become part of our life. So God says to you, young brothers and sisters, this week I want to do that was impossible. I want to do it. And I will do it. And I can do it. Now, how should we respond? Okay. Would you look at verse 38? Okay. Now, these are the words of Mary. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." Now, she put herself as a what? Maidservant. And what does servant do? Listen and what? And obey. That's it. What does servant do? Listen and obey. Okay? All right, let's read that verse. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." Now listen. "Let it be to me according to your word." Boy, that's the prayer. "Let it be to me according to your what? Word." Make what I heard, Lord Jesus, real in my life. That's the secret. There's no other way. That's your prayer. "Let it be to me according to your word." Now, brothers and sisters, if you take those words as your prayer, the Lord will do the impossible this week in your life. No doubt about that. And tonight is a wonderful way to prepare our hearts for the following days. Okay? You take those two verses to heart. Okay? And then here comes the assurance. Here comes sure fulfillment. The promise of sure fulfillment. Okay, God said, "I'll do the impossible." And you say, "Lord, okay, all right. Let it be to me according to your word. Do in me, do to me, do according to what you say. In me. Personal. Very personal. Very personal." Okay, that should be your attitude. And then turn to verse 45. Verse 45. If we listen to God's word, and we make up our mind, say, "Lord, let it be to me of your word," I tell you, blessing is what? Guaranteed. Blessing is guaranteed. Verse 45. Blessed is the person. Is it here? She. Of course, it refers to Mary. Blessed is she who believe. For there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. There will be what? Fulfillment. There will be realization. What you hear, what you take to heart, and the Lord says, "I'll make it real in you." That's all we need. And brothers and sisters, those few verses, not only you young people need, we older ones need. We are not different. What you need is what we need. Exactly the same thing. And that's why I'm here. That's why older ones are here. For the same thing. For the Lord to do the impossible, and to praise the Lord, "Let it be to me according to your word." And the response from the Lord said, "Blessed is that person who believes, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told of that person from the Lord." That's for sure. Now, those three verses is very precious to me. You know, before I came to this conference, they called me and said, "Brother Jose, would you say a few words after Brother Don?" And I struggle. I said, "Should I say something deep and profound, something, you know, what should I say?" And the Lord said, "Just say a few words that's really simple. Just make it simple. Make it workable. Make it real. Make it understandable. Don't be complicated." The Lord say, "I can do the impossible." You say, "Lord, do it according to your word in my life." And blessed is that person who believe, and all that word will be fulfilled in you. And that is real blessing. Now I can see that all my older brothers and sisters are nodding their head, agreement with me. Is there any other way for the Lord to do the impossible? Is there any other way? What do you think? No other way? Okay? Simply say, Lord, according to what you say to me, do it. In me. Do it in me. And blessed is that person who believe it. And all that is said to you will be fulfilled. Now, brothers and sisters, is that the gospel? That's the gospel for the unbeliever. And that's also the gospel for the what? Believers. We need that every day. And so, very simple. Okay, now don't forget those three verses now. Okay, Luke, Gospel chapter 1, verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. Take that to heart. That is God. He always does the thing that's impossible. Okay? Verse 38, the response. Mary said, behold, this maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And you know why they said, then Gabriel departed. You know why Gabriel departed? Because there's no further need to say anything, because she took it to heart. That's it. If you take that to heart, we can conclude our conference right now and go home. The Lord will fulfill it. You see what I'm saying? That's it. So there's no further speaking. When God finished speaking, means the work is done. That is spiritual principle. But if God keeps speaking, means the work has not been done yet. Okay? And in verse 45, blessed is person, the person she married, who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And now, this next few days, what Brother Jim will share, what Brother Dana will share, and all the workshops, young people, they are not their own words. These brothers and sisters, they are simply God's channels. They are speaking for God. And pray for them, that they will be faithful. So, simple, right? That's all. And the Lord bless you. That's all we need, those three verses, for life.